Boat Trader is America's largest boating marketplace with over 100,000 boats to choose from. We offer simple, comprehensive solutions for those looking to sell, find, and finance new or used boats. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
I'm Chase Rolson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Ball Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Bachman.
Working Class Bowhunter Podcast.
You're listening to the Working Class Bowhunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bowhunter.
It's really, really not that good.
Hey there, Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. Glad to have you. Hopefully we're helping you get through your work day. If you're not at work and you're on your way to hunt, good luck to you.
Yeah, good luck.
Getting to the late season officially.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll talk about that. The podcast, thank you for being here. We appreciate your support. All social medias, workingclassbowhunter.com, new merch, the YouTube, subscribe. We're doing a giveaway. Subscribe and let us know you subscribed. And
yeah, if you want stuff for your Christmas presents, get your orders in now.
There you go.
Eventually, it's going to come to a point where I can't get them out that fast.
Yeah, hopefully this, in podcast land, hopefully this airs in the correct timing that we're talking about.
It might be the week of Christmas. You never know.
Can't make any promises here.
If not, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oops. The podcast is presented by HHA Sports. They've been a big supporter of ours. Code WCB15 at HHASports.com. Super thankful for all our partners. Scent Crusher, Loophole Optics, Thermoseat, Victory Archery, Gator Outdoors, Elite Archery, Big Tine, Hunter's Blend Coffee, and Old Barn Taxidermy. Super, super thankful for all them great people. They support our show, which means they support people like you. If they're supporting people on the podcast, say fuck and upset people in forums.
Damn.
I didn't forget in one episode.
Yeah, all right. People don't forget.
40 to 55-year-old male Karens. They exist. Listen, I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not.
No, you're not.
Doug, you have a veteran shout out?
I do.
Thank God.
This was submitted by Matt Fitch. The veteran is Luke Corley. He's in the Air Force. Says Luke is on an active duty station in Louisiana. He's an avid outdoorsman and introduced me into bow hunting. His passion for being an accurate bow shooter and making ethical shots is something to be admired. So thank you, Luke, for your service.
Thanks, Luke.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for submitting that.
And, thanks, Matt.
Feel free to submit some more. Could always use more.
We always need more veteran shout-outs.
I need them all.
Doug needs a collection. Chips through them.
Yeah.
But no, thank you for your service, sir. That's awesome. We appreciate everything you guys do. Pretty cool. Pretty cool that people listen and then care enough to send in a veteran shout-out.
Absolutely.
And then it's weird. People are like, dude, hey, thank you so much for doing the veteran shout-out. I'm like, man, we just read them.
You know,
yeah, I'm just reading them. I mean,
it's cool to give them a spotlight and stuff. You know, and that is fun.
Give them a shout out.
It's just something little we like to do. Yeah, it's like a quick thank you before we do our thing, because the only reason why we can do our thing is because people like that put in the time and are good red-blooded Americans.
That's right.
Amen.
What's up, guys? I guess we'll do the roundtables. We have our guest, Cole Young, is back. What's up, buddy?
What's up?
It's good that you kill shit, huh? Because otherwise you never podcast.
I know. That's the only time you asked me to be on. Wow. Like, oh.
It's weird.
Well, you get to do one.
Yeah, but like, I feel bad for you because, you know, you're short and you just want to be involved.
Here we go.
You know, you drink Miller Lights. Half the time you don't know where you are.
Driving a minivan, usually.
Okay, I do own a minivan.
It's like we're doing a charity event, you know, when we have you on.
It's a tax write-off.
Thanks, man.
It's a tax write-off. We paid for your gas.
I walked in with a club foot and felt sorry for me.
And crutches.
And a parrot for some reason.
Hey, that minivan's a nice unit.
I'm not going to lie. I was judging you until you showed us, like, when you were shoving your deer mounts into it. It's got, like, perfect deer mount holding compartments in it.
Stow and go, buddy.
Stow and go.
I'm cool with it. The Lord is in here hosting again.
What up?
Doug Schmidt.
What's up?
I don't know. I'm introducing people. Like, I just volunteered myself. Eric Commons here.
Yo, yo.
And myself, Kurt Geyer. I'm here, too. What's up?
We're out here
doing it. Doing this damn thing.
How you guys doing?
Good. Good.
Good.
I'm doing great.
Good. Good. Cole, how you doing, man? You got to be doing pretty damn good right now, huh?
Doing really good.
Yeah? Killer season.
Yeah, really. I mean, fortunate, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm just... That deer is what I've strived for whatever.
Your whole life, huh?
16 years.
Yeah, I get it, man. Let's dive into this. You've been known throughout, like, the working class podcast series we've done with you alone is, you know, really focused around big deer and big Illinois bucks and your stories on them and stuff like that. So if people follow the podcast, they're getting to the point where they're like, this fucking guy again, you know, so which is good, right? Like,
God, you're
kind of like stamping your own little episodal series in here, kind of like what Clint Casper started. You're like following in Clint Casper's footsteps, you know?
I'm all right with those footsteps.
Yeah.
You need to be a little bit more excited, though, if you want to fill them shoes.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm probably not going to go hunt mule deer in the high country, but...
By yourself and...
Yeah, no.
80 miles in.
I'll give you an option.
Actually, that's one of the first podcasts that I think when we first met, I was like, I really like this guy. Like,
yeah.
He gets excited and he...
Somebody that passionate is pretty easy to win your heart over a little bit, like when he's that into it. It's kind of like a Ted Nugent vibe, but like more focus on the bow hunting aspect.
Oh, yeah.
So I've actually physically never met Clint. And when I shot this deer, he actually messaged me on Facebook. He's like, holy shit, man.
Really?
And that's the first time I've ever heard from Clint. And I was like, well.
He'll be at the garage party this year.
I must be doing something right. Got Clint's attention for sure.
You got Clint's stamp of approval.
Yeah.
Bad bitch stamp of approval.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, because you were leaking my photos.
Hey, maybe I was.
It's all right.
I had to the crew.
Nah, you're good.
Hey, listen. You want to be on this podcast or not?
You want to be on Daddy's team or not?
Listen,
stuff gets leaked.
Listen. Yeah,
you're over here violating trademark agreements. You really want to bark up that tree there, bub?
Yeah, you see the fine print right here?
See this?
Yeah, this says I own you. Yeah.
Violated your contract.
You're my bitch. You guys want to do an unpopular opinion segment right off the rip?
Let's do it.
I'm going to randomly pick one, and this could be really good for us or really bad for us.
Hey, hit us with it.
All right, let me scroll. Okay, there's some funny ones here. Some of them are just designed to fuck shit up.
Which ain't a bad thing. We like to fuck shit up.
All right, I gotta pick one. I want to read
them. I thought you were just going to pick a random one.
I know. No, I need
just
to.
Scroll and then
and
stop.
And stop and just say it.
Unless it's retarded, then don't read that.
Okay. Whatever it is, I'm just going to read it. So here it is. Here's our...
A colorful, emotional, working class hero.
Come on.
That opinion's not very popular.
Come on.
Serious part? Let me
read.
Serious part?
Every time.
Okay, this is the funny one. Adam Hudson, Obviously threw this in as a joke. People who paint their faces and throw on a blaze orange vest are dumb and out here looking like the gay love child of Matt Busbus and Chris Brackett. Hashtag booyah for likes.
Booyah for likes. I love
people
it.
People who never paint their faces hashtag. And throw on a blaze orange vest are dumb out here looking like the love child of Matt Busbus and Chris Brackett. So I don't understand.
Yes, they are dumb.
What's the correlation between the face paint and the blaze orange vest? It's like counterintuitive.
It's like, why are you painting your face?
You're gun hunting.
Yeah, maybe you should pick another one.
No, that's the one I picked.
We're talking about it. We're doing it.
We're real here, okay? I've killed deer at 12 yards with a bow with blaze orange on, and I just feel like your face pops more than an orange would, right? Because of how deer see.
I just killed a doe wearing a blaze orange vest and a blaze orange hat with a long bow. So, come on, people. You don't need to be wearing face mask and face paint and shit like that when you're gun hunting.
Fair. Very fair. And Cole, how do you feel about this?
I've kind of always felt that it's more about movement with blaze orange.
Yeah.
You know,
That's fair.
I mean, it's if you look at any research, it's pretty much standard in the community that they know what colors whitetails can and can't see, and
they
see blues really well, and they can't see red or what the fuck is it?
How do they know all that shit?
Oh,
I don't know.
They ask the deer.
Yeah, they talk to a deer.
Yeah, they get like a psychic kid that can speak to animals. And like, hey,
I'm assuming there's some really smart scientist that can, you know, examine their eyes or some shit. But
so if you had to pick one person, who do you think is more attractive, Matt Busbus or Chris Brackett?
I don't know who that other person is.
Matt Busbus? So,
yeah.
The trophy tape guy?
Oh, wow.
Who's more attractive?
I set him up for failure.
I don't.
Eric's like, just pass.
I'm gonna.
Can I phone a friend?
Here's my thing. I'm not gonna hate on you if you put face paint on and wear blaze orange. Like if that's truly how you feel, like you're doing, you're stealthy. Do your thing.
Yeah, maybe it's a good luck ritual.
Maybe it's your good luck combo. Yeah. If you're posting Instagram photos,
yeah, say if it's for the gram.
If you want to smear deer pass. Shit on your face, I mean, if that makes you feel like you're going to shoot
life's a garden, dig it.
I mean, I will say I am kind of a hater on, like, the signature face paint, like you're in a band.
I don't wear face paint.
Like, you know how
for that reason.
Brackett would do, like, the line. Really? And then, like, the lines coming down his cheeks, you know?
If you get busted on face paint, I mean, to me, that's, like, the bottom of the barrel. Like, you don't deserve to shoot that deer anyways.
You know,
like, if they see your face and that deer spooks, I think
I got a white ass face. Like, I think that might be the thing that
you got a full beard. You're a man.
Yeah, that is what I call Mother Nature's face mask right there. There's no need for face paint. There's no need for face mask if you got a nice, luscious beard.
Yeah, but I'm not going to lie. Like, bow hunting,
that's hurtful.
And I'm not the dude that's, I don't look in the mirror and, like,
you do
like
got
I
look a big head, the gram. But
huge head. My brain's so freaking large that I got to have a skull that contains it, you know? But, like, my cheeks, I'll take, like, the little stick like my dad had.
The deodorant stick?
Yeah, the deodorant stick of fucking face paint, and I'll just smear it on there. That way
I don't
know
get
my
how
cheeks.
Some people can get it so perfect.
It's because they're looking in
the
mirror.
Putting on makeup.
Yeah. Like, I'm not in a band. Like, I'm not, like, the one-off member from Kiss over here that's trying to put, like, it on perfectly, like, lining it off. I think it's silly.
I just never did face paint. So.
Yeah, I think it's.
I was raised with a face mask, so.
Yeah, a face mask guy typically.
I was not, but.
But I'll tell you, when you're antelope hunting and it's hotter than shit out, I want face paint.
Yep, absolutely.
But, you know, I'm just like, there's no mirror. It's like, all right, hey, is that look covered? Yeah, call it good.
It really don't matter.
Whatever. I mean, TV hunters, I guess, do it. It's like their signature thing. It's how you remember some people, but I don't know. I think you're cool.
It's going to be a no for me, dog.
For sure.
Dude, shout out to Randy Jackson.
I don't know why.
Dude, I haven't heard that for a while.
When I think of face paint, I'm just like, did he go down?
Is he down?
Is he down?
Is he down?
I don't know why every time I think of Fish
Feet. Yeah, it's like, yeah, dude, he's down. Settle down.
He's right there.
Yeah.
15 yards away.
Yeah. Anyway, that was fun. Cole, way to kill it again, brother. Coming back into the Illinois season strong.
Getting the Kurt Geyer seal of approval.
Yeah. Yeah. How you feeling, man? Going into the season, what was your mindset like?
Honestly, I was just trying to I had a deer on my home farm that I was like really set on.
Yeah. Because you and I, like, going into what you're about to get into, like, we work together.
Right. We see each other every day.
And so we look at Onyx maps a lot. And
well, I work and I visit Kurt.
Well, I'm the best employee deer has because all my shit's always up and running. So, you know, I have time to look at Onyx at work.
Yep. You the man.
Mm-hmm. Continue on. Keep telling me how good I am.
Yep.
But no, I mean, we talk a lot about game plans and property right. and deer and ideas, and it helps pass the day, actually.
It really is nice to have somebody that's in the same mindset as you.
Right.
But, yeah, going into the season, I had kind of a rough shed season. I mean, I think a lot of guys did because it was just such a warm winter.
Mm-hmm.
And deer just, when it's warm like that, they just don't, they drop sporadically. And yeah.
Drop late.
They're not slaves of their belly as much when they're dropping. And
right, and it doesn't seem like the bucks, the bigger bucks at least, they don't yard up with everybody. They're like, nah, I'm going to still chill in my area.
Can I do my own thing?
And typically those areas are hard areas to shed hunt. Mm-hmm. Whereas when it's fucking 0 degrees and they got to sit on a south hill to maintain body heat
yeah.
with all the other deer, it's like, oh, these are fun to find.
A little more concentrated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And but I mean I did okay, and I had a really rough shed season down there.
You're normally a really good shed hunter, I feel like.
I've tried to be.
We found a shed together and it was a hard shed to find, and you were on it.
Yeah, I feel like you were mad about that. Still mad?
I'm upset about it, man. That's why I make fun of you so much.
Walked by it, and I pointed to the opposite side of you. I'm like, yeah, there's one right there. And you're like, how the fuck did I not see that?
Yeah,
like,
it saw it across me. It was offensive. The way you did it, your shed
across him.
Yeah, your shed etiquette was terrible.
I mean, you could have picked it up if you want.
Your shed etiquette was terrible. You gotta respect the game.
That happens though. Like if it's that first shed of the year, like you just gotta get that one over with, and then all of a sudden they just start pop. It's kind of like morel mushrooms.
Get your eyes right. Yeah. Yep. Get your eyes right. Yep. For sure. So interesting. Shed season, not as good.
No,
as
it's actually really, really bad down. I'll just say south of here.
Yeah.
And that property that, I talked about it on the last podcast that. Well, actually, the first one.
Yeah.
That I was really interested in developing this piece. And so I go down there. This will be my second year shed hunting it.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a long time to get in there. I mean, it would, like, I tell people all the time, like, just persistence, you know, it just be nice to people.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they eventually say no, I'm not, you can't do that.
Yeah,
but in my case, maybe they say, all right, let's go down, you can do your thing, whatever.
Yeah.
And I got an awesome landowner, he's super cool guy. And so this next year, that which would have been last spring, we go down, and I actually took a buddy with me, and we start off, and I find a shed within 5 minutes. I'm like, booyah.
Huh?
Booyah.
Oh, thank you. So, sorry.
That's what I like to say.
Oh.
It's like a, who the fuck was that?
Chris Brackett?
No.
Oh.
No, dude, before him.
Oh.
I'm talking like bass fishermen tournaments, you know.
The Booyah Lures?
Yeah, buddy.
The Booyah Lures.
Mm. Yeah, I'm pre-Chris Brackett.
Sorry.
I don't even know who the fuck he is. I haven't even ever seen him hunt.
Right. Right.
Well, he's not hunting much anymore.
Anyways.
Yeah. He's kind of out of the game.
I find his shed right off the bat, and we walk quite a while, and we just keep finding deadheads.
Oh, yeah, not good.
We get down in the creek, and we just find deadhead. that, and I mean, I've probably consistently shed hunted for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I have legit never found a deadhead. I think maybe one, something like that, one. And then we go down there and we found 9 deadheads.
Oh, damn.
In one day?
In one day.
Like any big bucks? Like what are we talking? Like what type of deadheads?
Pretty much everything was like 1.5 to 3.5.
Like all bucks for the most part?
All bucks.
Wow, weird.
And are they like fresh dead, like still they fur?
They looked to me like they had all died in velvet.
No shit.
Oh, wow.
Like, because the horns were bright white.
Pokey
everything
still
on the burrs is just sharp as shit. I'm like, these deer all died in velvet, and they all died right here within 100 yards of this creek.
Mm.
And I'm thinking immediately, I'm like, EHD for sure.
Yeah.
Like it's all the signs. So going into the season, I was like, shit. I don't know. Maybe it's not such a good thing. Just undid my.
No, dude.
I only got one ear.
Wiggle your thing there. We got to upgrade that headset, apparently.
Yeah, we do.
That's Ross's headset. He's bitches about it every episode.
my left ear just went dark.
Is it working yet?
It's in and out. There it is. You just stay there the rest of the podcast, just like that.
Yeah. Hold it here.
Ross normally licks that plug in and sticks it back in there.
Put your right hand right here.
I'm not
right
kidding.
Inside of my thigh.
Oh, there you go. This is getting... Where's Matt Buzzards when you need him, man? Trying to make a fucking reality show out of this.
Trophy tape over here.
Trying to measure that thigh and get you on for a load of likes, you know what I'm saying?
How big are you?
Huh?
What?
So you're finding dead bucks, your headset went out. God damn, we got to focus.
So I go... Sorry. Going into the season... So I guess I'll take you back just a little bit. Like, I hunted this property last fall,
mm-hmm.
and it was kind of like a last-minute thing. And I went down there second gun season.
Mm-hmm.
And, dude, it's warm. It was poor weather. It was windy.
It was warm last year.
And I seen deer, but I'm hanging and I'm hunting. And I go to one end of the farm and I hang. It's like the wind's coming out of the south. So I go to the north end of the farm. It's perfect access, creek. Get up in there, and I'm like, this could be really good. And everything I seen was on the other side of the creek. And I was like, okay, well, when the wind switches to the north, I'm going to go to the other side of the creek. So I do that, and I mean, I'd see deer, and then poof, they're gone. And this property is really, really nice, but it's really, really overgrown. Mm-hmm. Like, it's nobody's mowed the CRP and...
Kind Thick, of abandoned
15
in a way.
Years.
Thick burrs.
Yeah. It's basically just been let go for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And after second season, I had muzzleloader down there, and I came home and I told my dad, I was like, we got to do some work down there to make this huntable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's...
Shitty thick, CRP is good, but too shitty of CRP is not good.
Right, right. Thick is good for bedding, but... You got 160 acres of bedding. It's really, really hard to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
You got to have those areas where they are visible. Otherwise,
you're better off burning it off and just wait until the next year and it'll grow back so much better.
Well, the problem is, you know, there's trees in there as big as your thigh.
Right.
And
trees you want.
Well, I mean...
Maybe not. Okay.
I'm thinking in the middle of this. I mean, I'm talking in the middle of the CRP. Like,
yeah.
This stuff was tillable 20 years ago, and it's, I mean, I'm actually surprised the trees were not bigger. I mean, for something that nobody's mowed completely. And
hasn't even touched.
Haven't touched.
Are they huntable trees, though? Years. Like, if you had to make a move in a certain spot? Oh, they're not.
No, it's all birch, garbage.
Mm.
And I mean.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, man, you got opportunity and. Random spots in the middle of some CRP.
No. It's like just shrub, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But, so I came home and I was like, I just told my dad, I was like, I'm going to have to put some time in there. And I did enough favors in the spring. And it was really, really wet there before the mow date. For anybody who's listening, the mow date for CRP is April 15th. You got to mow before April 15th. Otherwise, from April 15th to August 1st, that's ground nesting date, at least in Illinois. And I probably could have gotten the go ahead because that CRP was so overgrown, but I didn't.
You're better off not messing with it and just.
Well, I lucked out because it got really, really dry there in like July and early August. Mm-hmm. And I went down there the first week of August. I loaded up skid steer, forestry head, on a gooseneck, started at 4 a.m., went down there. I unloaded at 6, and my dad took my cousin lives close, so he let me use his 15-foot bat wing. And my dad started off in the mower, and I started off in the skid steer, and we mowed in about 12 hours, about 60 acres. Oh, and I mean, so basically my dad's just going around mowing around the stuff. And just to let you know how thick it is, he's got a 6R and a 15-foot John Deere Batwing. And he was going between 2 and 2.1 mile an hour. Like, that's how thick this CRP is.
Damn.
He almost better off taking half a swipe, you know.
And just going faster.
Right, at that point.
And it's kind of like the way that they must have seeded that CRP is, like, it was just dissed. Like, because it is rough as a motherfucker.
No kidding.
So we get that all mowed, and, you know, landowner's just tickled. He happened to come down there that day, and he's like, he's just tickled pink. Was not expecting that. And
you're
like,
improving his ground.
I was like, listen, man, when I told you I'm about to, you know, get this shit
right,
looking good, like, this is what you got to do. Like, mm-hmm. One more year and you're cutting these trees off with a chainsaw.
Right.
So, we really did good. And then it didn't rain for like 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
which was good and bad. A lot of times you like to see a rain right away after that. That way, yeah, that grass can get a head start, but.
Did you have any, like, while doing all this, I mean, you're thinking about ground and management. One, you're wanting to improve new ground you got and make it more of a huntable piece. But, I mean, what else were you thinking about? Did you think about doing some sort of fall plot, any plot at the time, anything else?
Honestly, at that point, I was on a mission to get paths opened up. I was trying to get rid of the trees, just trying to make it accessible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be able to plant food plots. Because, I mean, there was really nowhere you could put one because, I mean, it was insane. I'll bet you, the thing is about sitting in a skid steer is you see everything right in front of you. Whereas a bat wing, you know, you're 6 feet above it. You don't really notice what you're running over.
Yeah.
I'll bet you I mowed over five to 6 acres of wild black raspberries, and that the whole thing, I was like, well, no shit, I wasn't fucking seeing any deer. I mean, he'd just sit right here and
got everything he needs right there.
He eat some berries, chew on, and the thing is it was like nice thick lush grass underneath, so like he had no need.
Mm-hmm.
any big deer had no need to move,
right? Yeah,
there's
it's nice to have those little pockets that make them feel nice and secure, but you don't want an entire farm that's just strictly bedding habitat with a lot of food in it. Like, that hurts you.
Yep. And, I mean, there's three creeks that run through the piece. Like,
so you mowed the whole thing down?
Well, it's 163 acres, and it's about half and half CRP timber. So we tried to concentrate on one side of the farm that was more manageable, and the other side of the farm is mostly tree plantings.
Mm-hmm.
So the goal is next year to kind of just get some paths opened up on the other side and just get, you know, create. It's got, on the other side, it's got like a pretty good sized creek that feeds a really big creek. Whereas on the south side of the timber or south side of the piece, it's just a lot of like, it's a lot of, what they did is they didn't farm the draws and they farmed the high ground. And so it's all crowned out and that's where you should see that really nice like switch or prairie grass, and it was just I'm sure that it was there at one point, but
yeah, when you let it go for a decade, shit disappears.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure.
Real how fast. Fun though, man! Like you get this new piece, and the landowner's like, "Yeah, if you want to do that type of work, like, I mean, what better type of deal can you get?" You know, just being kind to people, you get an opportunity like, hey, I got the equipment. Let me help your, you're helping me. Let me help you.
Yeah, no. And I was like totally upfront with him. So, I mean, going back a little bit, like it took me essentially 2 years to even get in there to shed hunt. Like I just called him every like 4 months.
Hey, like, buddy.
Hey man, how's it going? Would you think about going down there? And then he called me this past fall and he's like, hey, we bought out the other sibling that owns this property.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just me. And I was like, you want to get to work? And he's like, let's go down in the spring. So go down in the spring. I told him what my plans were. And he's like, yeah, if you want to. And then I explained it to him. You know,
that's where you're like, I'm in.
I was really upfront with him though, because I was like, you know, I'm not going to lie. You can probably lease this and make money. You know, you're talking five grand a year, probably, maybe a little more. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever people are willing to pay, apparently, nowadays. I said, but you're going to lose a lot of – I said, you're not going to be cruising around here in November. You're not going to be able to come down. I said, you give
can't
up,
really fuck around at all on the ground at that point.
You give up a lot. And I said, you know, what if the guy's a complete fucking nutsack? And you don't like him, you know. Yeah. Money's cool, but you don't need it. You own half the farm outright, you know.
Right, yeah.
I said,
you don't I'll tell need you to what. Make payments.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll do 10 grand worth of work for you this year. And he's the coolest guy, man. He's more of a city guy. I mean, he's probably in his mid-40s. But he loves it. I've never seen somebody so stoked for somebody else to find a shed antler when they don't even know what a shed antler is.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, he was, like, discouraged when we went down there and found a bunch of deadheads. He's like, man, I wish you would have found more sheds. And I'm like, eh, you know, it.
Part of it.
It is what it is, you know.
It is what it is.
That's cool. What a perfect kind of setup, dude, though, you know.
He's a great guy, man. I cannot say enough good things about him.
That's cool. Well, I mean, that's cool. He let you do all that and kind of make it your own to a point. You know what I mean? Like, take some pride in it. You're not doing work for no reason. Like,
yeah,
you know, you're doing work that you'd like to see, and he's loving it. And you're just making Play-Doh snakes, thinking about all this habitat improvement.
Yeah.
And all the cool shit that's going to happen in the future. You know, like the reference again.
yeah, and his and actually, when I was down there clearing that all that brush, his wife was there with him, and she's like, I was not expecting any of this. I was like, well, you know, this is what we got to do to get it back. I mean, otherwise I was worried they were going to be out of compliance the next.
So on a question, you mowed all this off. Are they still getting CRP payment on this, or is this like, it's okay, good. No. So
it's in a program.
Yeah. So they're going to let it grow back up and continue.
Right.
In the
so
CRP.
I was actually worried that they were going to, the next time it was assessed, they were going to be out of compliance.
Yep.
So
Like they got lucky that they got the payment for as long as they did, if it was in that bad of shape for that many years.
I was very, very, in Whiteside County, that would have never, ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
I figured it was in a program when you said you had that window to mow it, because usually,
right,
you know, they give you that window to mow it or burn it in a certain amount of time.
And I was 100%, I mean, I think if I would have just called the NRCS office and said, hey, it was a wet spring, I didn't have time to mow this, can I get, I mean, because they can give you permission,
right,
basically, right, if it actually needs mowed. But I'm sure that I could have got it, but it was just, it's really, really hilly. There's a lot of springs. It's wet. Like, I didn't want to go down in there and tear a bunch of shit up. And
yeah.
August.
So what else, like, habitat improvement wise were you able to do, or did you consider, or do you want to do?
So this is kind of the first step. Like, yeah. I knew that I wanted to clear that top ground that was that had the ability to produce mm-hmm. some really, really nice, a nice stand of just native grass, you mm-hmm. know. I know that that bottom, I mean, I've been, my dad's farm is pretty much the same. It's 500 acres and it's almost split 50-50. Like CRP, well, there's 100 acres tillable, but other than that, the rest of it is all split 50-50.
Yeah.
200 acres CRP. And my dad has taught me that really how to manage that. And so I knew that that bottom ground is going to be what it is. Because that creek, it's the same thing kind of with where my home farm is. We got the river, whereas that creek is, does the same thing. It's just a small, it's just smaller. Just it goes in and out of its banks, yep. just like the Rock River does.
Right.
And you can only do so much when the yeah. shit floods every other year.
Yeah.
Right. So building in, you mow. Let's talk about getting into season, and you know you're setting out trail cameras, of course, just like anybody else would on a property there. Putting time and energy and money into, let's get into that a little bit.
So I'm down there, I think August 8th was the day that we mowed. And I think I posted on our team page, mm-hmm. like I get down into this bottom and it's right as all that CRP kind of ends and it gets down into this big bottom. And I just see this corner. And there's this oak tree that's about as big as your arm, and it's got real low branches, so I just wipe out everything around it and just go into this corner, clean this whole corner up, and I just take that forestry head and just, I mean, I took all the way down to bare dirt all the way around that little oak. And there's another oak right there, and I, because another thing on this farm is it's really hard to find a tree to hang in. Like, it's a lot of new growth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking whoever sold it before had logged it at some point, or maybe it just, I don't know, maybe it was tillable at some point. I don't know. But
it's hard telling.
It's a lot of small trees, but there was actually a really nice pin oak, and I was like,
that's when you mowed like that, you're just creating a spot for scrapes around yeah. that single tree. It's what you're looking for.
Yep. I know better, and I know that if you got an oak that's got real low hanging branches and you take her down to the bare dirt underneath it.
Especially if it's in like an open area where it's kind of by itself there. It's like a magnet.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's what I did. I put a cell cam on that August. I just walked away.
It's like a signpost pretty much for every deer in that area that's going to be hitting that.
Four cameras on that one tree to go all the way around.
Yeah. Get every angle.
So, and the other thing is those deer have never, I mean, any scrapes that I've ever found in that property were in the timber because they never, like the field edge was never mowed.
Yep. Just too thick.
So I was like, you know what? Maybe if I give them this, maybe
dude, they're like, holy shit. Look at this, guys.
Look at that. Nice little scrape tree.
Check this out. Yeah. What's this? This is nice. Look at this.
Somebody mowed around this tree.
Yeah. This is just fantastic. All this room.
This is really nice.
They're like you just renovated their house. They're on HGTV coming out like, oh, geez, I love what they did to the place.
It's actually pretty.
The toes are crying.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing what now has happened. But like for the first, I'd say all the way through September, I mean, it was like fucking dead zone, buddy. I'm like, man, what is going on? Like.
They probably get used to it. We haven't seen this in 20 fucking years.
Yeah. What is this place?
That's part of it.
I don't like change.
Well, maybe. I mean, could be.
But
all the deer were dead from fucking.
So that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, holy drinking fuck. Drinking the pool water. It did get fucking hammered by EHD. Like, this place is toast. Like, it's going to take me, you know, it's going to take me 3 years basically to.
Get a good rack.
To recoup from this, and then mm-hmm. all of a sudden, like mid-October, it's just fucking lighting up.
What do you think the deal was?
What's that?
What do you think?
I don't really know. Maybe some crops coming out. And the other thing that I'm thinking is maybe that the deer were in a cycle where they don't summer there.
Yeah.
Maybe there's
several farms like that.
Maybe there's not enough there that they just don't summer there, and then it's thick enough to where all the does come there when it gets that time.
Well, socially, they might want a spot that has more food, a little more open, and then as that gets picked, then they move back into this thicker farm. Yeah. I have farms like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that would add up, right?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and so I
think you'd have something, though, with, like, the spot, like, kind of untouched, low pressure.
You would really think. But in the same sense, I only had one camera down there.
I'm a big believer in that now. The camera does not tell the whole story, man. You can't go off that.
And 100% we're going to get into that, why it's not.
We talked about it a little bit, too.
Yep. And so, I mean, pretty much the whole time from August to middle October. I mean, I got a 120 incher in there, and that's it. And I'm like, and you know, my old man's like, well, that was a lot of fucking work for that.
then, congrats, bud.
What a waste of time.
Last time I was then, like, middle October. I mean, this is as raw as it gets. I'm literally sitting on the shitter in my house, and I get a picture sent to me, and I couldn't figure out why my camera was SD card was filling up so fast. Well, I had the motherfucker set on video, and I didn't know it. So it's a cell link, and so I'm like, what the fuck? I only got like,
and those things don't, I only got like a
couple hundred. So it doesn't send the videos; it only sends the pictures. Like, oh, I got a couple hundred pictures on here, and my fucking SD card's like half full. It's 16 gig. What the hell is going on? So I'm sitting on the toilet, and I get a picture of this deer, and his head's up, and all I can see is this giant doinker coming down. I'm like, oh my God.
Giant doinker.
What is that?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, I mean, instantly, you know, I come out, and I'm like, you know, show my wife, like, she gives a shit. I'm like, look at the size of this thing. She's like,
oh, that's nice.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
He's cute. Yeah.
He's a nice one.
Yeah.
So I go,
she's like, fuck off, I'm trying to watch HGTV. And
yeah. Yeah.
I send it to my buddies, and they're like, holy shit, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't really know, but it looks like he has a big split on his other side, and it looks like a deer doesn't have a tine that big abnormal and not have anything else.
Right. Some goofy shit on the other side.
Yeah.
But the problem is, it's like his head was like straight up in the air, so you can't see anything else other than that
massive kickstand.
That goodness, yeah.
The doinker?
Yeah, I'd just be staring at that the whole time, like, holy. Doinker. Look at that doinker.
And it looked like a giant drop tine coming off in that first photo that you showed me. So six, I'm like, damn, dude, that's insane. You know, it's what everybody wants.
Right, but even me and you were like, we had a hard time even telling really what he was. And then, so I sent my cousin the photo, and he's like, well, you want me to go pull that card? I'm like, it's really the first good deer. I mean, I got another couple deer down there that are decent, but I was like, that's really the only deer that I see as huntable for me. So let's just hold off a week. So I hold off a week, and I can't take it anymore. So I
it's eating at you.
Yeah, it is. I got to see it. Yeah. And because I'm like, you know what? If it's on video and it takes a picture at the beginning of the video and the end of the video, and I got a picture of him, I got six pictures of him.
Oh.
So he sat on that scrape for a while. And the last picture I got of him was his tail. And I'm like, all right. He walked right in front of the camera.
You got it all.
So I call my cousin. I'm like, dude, I hate to do this to you. And he's like, no, I ain't doing shit.
It's 3 a.m. You know? I'm
like, you need to run out there.
So he sends it to me, and I'm trenching in power at where we're going to build a new house. And I didn't get the pictures yet. And all I got was, dude, he's a beast. And I'm like, what the fuck? So like, I'm like clicking my phone, and I gave up on it. And then I trenched in all the wire, and we get done, and I'm like, pick my phone up. I'm like, mother of God.
Mother
holy
girl.
Shit. Because he just, my cousin's like,
oh dear God.
He sends me a side angle, and you just see all those points, and I'm like, holy shit. My dad's helping me. I'm like, Dad, look at that shit. He's like, oh, wow. That's a pretty nice one. And I'm like,
just goes back to work.
Yeah.
Sits.
Cool.
That's very much my dad. But yeah. I'll tell you what, he legit got excited. He's like, holy shit. You probably should go hunt that deer. I'm like, well, he's only been there once. Let's not get excited.
Yeah.
But it was at like dusk. So anyways, we go on about our business and I was like, well, fuck, I only got one picture of him. I don't want to. And I mean, we even talked about
it. This is when we had the conversation at work. I'm like, dude, don't.
Get the fuck down there now.
Yeah, doesn't tell the whole. I Clint Caspered you a little bit.
I was just going to say you pulled a Clint Caspered.
Yeah, but I'm like, dude, that camera doesn't tell the whole story. Like, he's in there. Like, he didn't zoom in there once.
Yeah, if you get a picture of him. If you get one picture of him, he's probably all over that spot. Like, he had to walk in front of that camera at that exact place. He's probably all over the place.
Yeah, he could walk behind the camera every other day that week, and you just don't know it, and he's in there.
Right, and the only reason, and it was right at dusk, in middle October.
Yeah, he's
in there. And, I mean, the moon phase was not even right. Like, it was not high pressure.
He's in the biscuit.
And I'm just like, that's when I was like, dude, I don't think there's any reason to rush. I don't think he's fucking going nowhere.
Yeah.
And it was a little difficult for me to do it, but I was like, you know, I just want to wait. I just want to wait until the time's right. And then we talked and
we mapped out. So remember, so it would have been 4 or 5 days probably before you went in. We remember us looking at Onyx and you're like, hey, maybe I'm skipping ahead here.
I don't think so.
We were mapping out because you're like, hey, because you saw him on the hoof, right? That's what I was getting at, didn't you?
Oh, so anyways, time, the rest of October goes by. I never get a picture of him again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hunting my home farm. And, I mean, we talked about that day. Like, so it's Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And I go in, and I mean, it's full fucking moon. It's a falling moon. And I'm walking across the CRP, and I mean, it's so bright that I can see my fucking shadow walking across the CRP, and I'm like, I'm going to kill some shit today.
Yeah.
Morning, and I get does go by, yada, yada, yada. And I like to call. There's guys that don't, but I do. Mm-hmm. I like to call.
I do too.
I like to have fun. And
you like to party?
So I call.
I also like to party.
First rattle session. Out steps this deer, tips his head up, and he's got 25-inch main beams, and I'm like, yeah, you're getting it.
Sick.
I mean, when I walked in, I was ready. So, he comes by, and I range, and I thought he was going to walk field edge, and he turns, and he walks right by me, and I just drilled him. Ends up being like 149, but that started my season, and I'm like, okay. I text my brother. I'm like, I'm done. Your turn. I'm going after this.
You're out. Yeah, yeah.
100%.
Head south.
And so we talked about that first week, and I was actually scheduled to be off that first week, and I was like, no, weather's shit. Don't like it. I don't want to fuck anything up. So I actually didn't go the first day I was scheduled to be off, and I just went Friday. So it had been... what's the weekend before the 13th, like the 5th?
Yeah.
That Friday?
Mm-hmm.
Or no, 6th.
Right? Somewhere in there.
Right in there, yeah.
Anyways, so I pack my stuff up, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to drive down in the morning, take a slow roll down there, get down there about 11. I don't have any stands hung. I'm just going to get in there about 11 when things are kind of, you know, supposedly.
Slowed down a little
bit. Yeah, slowed down a little bit. So I get in there and I pull in the entrance, and there's actually like, there's a barn kind of in the, you know, a couple hundred yards off the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I typically don't park at it. I actually mowed a spot where I can park right off the road, so I don't have to park there. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to park up there because I got like 4 stands and I got, you know, I got a lot of gear. When I come back tomorrow, you know, I'll park up by the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I pull behind the barn, well, kind of perpendicular to the front of the barn, so I can't be seen anywhere else. I get all my stuff done, and, you know, I take my time, and I mean, I walk fucking 10 feet and I just look out in the CRP, kind of down in this bottom. It's all tree plantings and there's a big opening. And I just see this doe and she's going in circles. And there's a little buck chasing her. There's another little buck. And there's another little buck. And there's a little bit bigger buck. And then there's a pretty good buck, like 140 incher. And then there's another 140, 150 incher. And pretty soon there's like seven bucks chasing this doe in a circle, like 150
follow
yards.
The leader.
Yeah, I wonder if she's hot.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, I've only walked 10 feet.
10 out of 10.
I'm literally kneeling down under an old fuel barrel. Like, I'm like, I strip all my shit, and I just grab my bow, and I'm like, well, let's just see what happens.
Yeah.
And then I got another picture of another deer down there that's I think is a four-year-old, and he's got really good mass, and here he comes. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, that's that's one of the deer that I'm thinking about, you know,
yeah.
If I don't see the giant.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, all the bucks disperse, and the doe runs up the hill. And here comes this deer, and I just see this gigantic fucking foot-long white thing hanging off the back of his G2. And I'm
doinker.
Like, holy shit, there he is. 150 yards, and I'm sitting on the ground, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, this, is this really happening? I've been here for 5 minutes.
Right.
And then
he's all over that spot.
He was in there. I mean, like, obviously that there's enough. There's not very much activity there, so that barn doesn't,
right? Yeah,
doesn't bother him at all. Cars don't bother him at all. Like,
they're used to that shit.
Low pressure.
So he works up the hill.
What a good feeling, though, to right like to walk in and see him that quick. You're like, okay, he lives here. This is his spot.
And let alone all the bucks that he's seen.
No kidding. Yeah,
following like, that doe too. That to make you like, okay.
There's other options and there's future options.
Yes.
So literally within the first 10 minutes that I was there, I seen every buck I had a picture of.
That's damn. What one hot doe will do for you.
Yeah. And I mean, if they're living there, right? I mean, yeah. Why would they not all be trying to get some tail?
Man. Hell, I would.
Yeah, so, it's just like your local watering hole at that point. You know, absolutely. The one hot chick's there and she's available. What's up?
28 dudes there.
So initially.
Every guy on Facebook's there.
Yeah.
In her DMs, for sure.
In her DMs. Except it comes to real fight and everybody kind of backs out except the big boy right
here. The guy with the mustache.
Right. Yeah, the guy with the mustache.
Nah. Yeah, Doug walks in, everyone disperses. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Hey, I
fucking wish.
I fucking wish. I'm sleeping alone again tonight.
The dominant buck in his head.
Damn.
It's tough out here.
So I look at this spot and I'm like, man, this.
Oh.
I mean, everything that I've ever gathered from whitetail hunting is like, if you see him do something like that, you just basically, I just watched him do what he does, and there's a tree right there. I'm like, right there, even though it seems stupid because it's only 150 yards away, like, that's the tree.
Mm-hmm.
So initially when we had talked, I was like, you know, I need to get all the way around this corner. I need to get down into this bottom. That's the tree. So, I'm like, fuck, what do I need? I'm kind of at a crossroads here. Mm-hmm. And then
it's hard to know what the right decision is because at this point you're excited. You have all these different things running through your head. And now it's time to, like, you want to be in and out as quick as possible because you know the more you fuck around in there, the less and less and less your chances are, the more you do your messing
around.
And
that's where you're like, okay, do I go this way? Do I go that way? Do I go?
Yeah. Well, what if the wind's doing this? What if,
right. It's 11 o'clock in the morning and you see this guy on his feet. You know he's bedding within, you know, a couple hundred yards of that spot, has to be. So that gives you a pretty good idea right off the bat.
So I usually always call my old man with any encounter, really. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Dad, I've been down here 5 minutes and I've already seen that fucking giant. He's like, well, you know, maybe you can get down. And he knows the property because he helped me mow it. He's like, maybe you can get down just a little bit further and get into that bottom. And then if he walks anywhere across that bottom, you're going to see him. And I was like, I feel like I should just get in that tree. You know, it's kind of in the open, but it's good cover. It's a clump of cottonwoods. Like, it's going to be, I can be in that stand in 15 minutes. Like, I hang in cottonwoods all the time because I use screw-in steps.
Mm-hmm.
Like an old timer.
Yeah, you got to have a screw-in step for some big cottonwood trees, man. I killed a big buck out of a cottonwood once.
Oh, I love them.
I did. It almost fell because it's sketchy.
But yeah, I've fallen out of a cottonwood.
Hey, no biggie, right? Brush off. It's cotton. It's soft at the bottom.
They got that bad. They got that bad bark, brother.
Yeah, it's hard to get the peg screwed all the way in when the fucking bark's 3 inches thick.
They got a bite to them.
So you think the pegs in there.
The best ones are about 14 inches around because they don't quite have that gnarly bark. But anyway, so I was like, you know what? I'm gonna try to do what my old man said. So I get up there and I get to the tree that I want to be in. It's about 50, 60 yards away, and I'm like, all right, I'm just going to try to ease up in here just real slow. And I get 20 yards past where I want to dive into that cottonwood, and I just fucking deer go. I hear a lot of shit, and then all of a sudden there's a three-year-old 140-incher standing 20 yards in front of me, so I just throw all my shit down. I get my bow out. I knock an arrow, and I just like sat down. I was like, okay, let's just see. I need to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other three-year-old walks out into the field, and then I just hear this horrendous grunt in this thick little bowl, and I'm like, he's in there. I gotta get the fuck out of here. So I back out.
Gotta get out of here.
And I go into that tree. And I mean, I'm back. I'm in
the
stand.
The first tree you were looking at? Yep.
First tree I picked.
He's going to be pissed. We get out of here.
So I...
get the hell out of here.
Well, I'm assuming that he's seen those other bucks move and, you know, and maybe them little bucks came in. And, I mean, dude, it's so thick that three-year-old was 15 yards when I bumped him. And I didn't see him and he didn't see me.
Right.
Like, it's that thick right off this road.
Mm-hmm.
So I get back in that... I get in that stand. I mean, I'm in it in 15 minutes. And, dude, I am fucking, I mean, I'm hyped up. I just hung a stand. I am sweating. It's like 60 degrees. I literally hunted the rest of the time that night in a long-sleeve Carhartt and blue jeans.
Mm-hmm.
And uninsulated boots. Like, I was, and I had my fucking sleeves rolled up. I'm like, this, it's fucking hot. God, I hope he does what he did last or did this morning.
Yeah.
This afternoon. So I don't really see, I mean, I see a little bit of movement, but I don't see a whole lot. And then right at dark, that fucking doe comes down the hill. I look over, 5 minutes before dark. He's actually working a scrape between me and where I first seen him. So he's like 75 yards from that barn. I mean, he's basically 75 yards from my pickup.
No shit.
And I'm like, but he can't see my pickup.
Right.
And I'm just like, holy fuck, dude. He is really comfortable in here.
He's all over it.
And he comes in, and I mean, I can't help myself. I have to throw the kitchen sink at him. I have to snort wheeze at him.
Oh, on a deer like that, there might only be one chance. I mean,
so that's
it's hard to say.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, you know, maybe I don't see him again. Because in my experience, something like that, if you see him, like what I seen that morning, and he comes back at 75 yards.
Like, you got to try something.
You always got to try something.
In my head, I'm thinking I might not see him again. So I give him some, you know, some softies just to try to get his attention. And dude, he is fucking just tailing that doe. All of a sudden, I just get a little more aggressive, and then I just snort wheeze. And, dude, he is just on that doe, and I'm like, she's hot to breed. He's taking her into this just massive 30-acre thicket that you can't even see.
He's taking him into his bedroom.
And I'm like, he's going to breed her for 2 days. Because I just seen him run a bunch of bucks off, so nobody else has bred her.
Yeah.
So he's going to go breed her for 24 to 48 hours probably. So I sat in that stand the rest of the weekend, and the next morning was my green light moment. I sat in the stand, totally different wind, never got winded. I don't know, Austin, do you have these spots where it's just like
the thermals work in your favor, you can't lose, doesn't matter what, when. Yep.
Yep.
That's the money spot.
There's certain spots you get in and it don't matter what the deer are doing or what the wind's doing, and you get fucking blown at by every old doe that walks by. And then there's certain stands that you hang, and it don't matter what the wind's doing, it don't matter what the deer are doing. Nobody gets spooked.
Yeah, nobody gives a shit. They don't know you're there.
And apparently I found that tree right off the bat.
Hey, man, good pickings, because you know that's going to pay off in the future too, you know? So that's got to be like that's a killer feeling.
So after that day, I felt really good, because then like mid-morning, here comes both three-year-olds right down the fucking tube right to me. And I'm like, if those two three-year-olds are going to do that, that means that other mature bucks have probably already done that. Like, they didn't just pick that trench to walk for no reason.
Right.
So, but that was my time down there, and I had to pack up, come home. And honestly,
we talked at work after this.
Right.
You know, we sat there for a little bit fucking mapping out game plans.
Yep.
Back and forth, like, because you told me that whole story in detail. I remember looking at Onyx, you're like, man, I'm thinking about doing this. And we sat there and spitballed for a bit.
Yeah. And honestly, I think we talked about it for, what, Monday through Wednesday.
Yeah, right.
And I had planned to take off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yep.
Well, Thursday came along, and my wife's like, I can't find a babysitter. I'm like, you know what?
Fuck you, you know? Just kidding.
You got to care.
You wanted to say that, but you can't.
Oh, no.
That ain't my problem.
Yeah. See you later.
These are your kids. Right? Well, so, see you later.
So I'm like,
it's a no for me, dog.
You can't bring those to my kids?
Yeah. I'm like, all right.
The kid looks nothing like me.
That fucker don't even look like me.
I've always thought that, but I just want to tell you now.
The fucking spitting image of him.
Yeah,
literally, my kids look exactly like me. So,
oops.
No denying that one.
Yeah.
Hey. Well, shit.
But I'm like, all right. I said, it's no big deal. I'll just leave. I'll leave Thursday night. And I just bought this pickup from my father-in-law, and it's leaking antifreeze, and he just had the head gaskets done. So I'm like, fuck, I'm gonna have to.
Yeah, that's handy.
This is gonna be a bitch.
Right.
So I got another fork too. So I'm like, I talked to my father-in-law, and I got this piece of shit Dodge Dakota, and it's sitting at his house because I've been driving his truck for 2 months. And Ariel gets home Thursday night, and she's like, God, I feel like shit. I got it. I'm like, what do you got what? She's like, I gotta have coronavirus. There's no way I don't. I can't smell a fucking thing. I'm like, God damn it. I was like, stay away from me. And I felt bad.
Goddamn bitch.
I love you, but piss off for a few days.
She got like super emotional. She's like, you were looking forward to this hunting trip so Kick rocks bad. Kid. You know, and she's getting all upset. I'm like, listen, it ain't a big deal, you know. I can go down there next weekend. No big deal. Whatever. So just.
You're a better man than me.
Come here and make out with me, because then I get 2 weeks off of work.
I was like, figure it out. I'm quarantining, motherfucker. Get away from your sick ass. Someone watch them kids.
Peace out.
There's a 200-inch deer with my name on it, honey.
Sick ass.
We'd all done that.
Oh, dude.
Not for sure.
I would have been out so fast. I'm like, that's your fucking problem now.
So she walked in the door Thursday night, and she did that. And I mean, I really did feel bad, because she...
Did you, though?
Ariel has, like, she's overly sensitive for other people,
mm-hmm.
which I'm the complete opposite. I don't give a fuck about you.
You're getting yours, right.
I mean, not to that extent, but I don't care what other people think or do or whatever. Do whatever you want.
Catching your vibe. If you're willing to admit that on record, we know what you really feel.
No, but...
It's on record.
I'm just kidding.
So she got all upset, and I was like, how about... I said, you feel good enough, I'll put the kids to bed. You just go to bed. If you feel fucking terrible in the morning, it's not a big deal. I just drive back home. And I waste a vacation day. No big deal. So I drive all the way down there, and I stay with my cousin. And I get down there, and he's fucking asleep. So me and his wife's cool as shit. Me and her end up drinking until like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, having a good time. And then I wake up at 4:45 or so, and at about 5:10, I get a picture of that buck on that scrape, and he's by himself.
Just doing big buck things.
And I seen that picture, and I mean, I'm putting on my long johns, you know?
That's the best feeling, man.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I got a chance. Like, if he's by himself, I got a chance. Yeah. Like, with that doe.
Put on the long johns, hard as a rock.
You ever try putting long johns on with a boner?
Yep.
It ain't fun.
So what day was this? This was like terrible. November 12th,
13th. This is the 13th.
Okay.
Morning of the 13th.
I would say that was probably, looking at what Ross saw, what I saw, my cameras, and what you saw, I would say that was probably the hot day this year.
Like, I was hunting 12, Indiana 13th. At this time, and I saw a lot of deer moving.
Yep.
So I, and then I get in the pickup at like 5:15, and Ariel calls. She's like, hey, I feel like shit. I got to go get tested. I'm not going to work. You got to get home. I'm like, How about
no?
It's a no for me, dog.
I don't know what happened. My phone died. It wouldn't turn back on.
I'll just send her a picture of Randy Jackson.
You're breaking up. Hello?
Terrible service, honey.
I'm like, how about I just hunt for a little bit in the morning? It's at 8 o'clock, and then I'll head straight home. She's like, she was cool about it. She's like, you know what? You're already down there. Go. That's fine. I'll just get a little bit of rest until then. So I get in there, and I mean, I was in early, obviously. I got that picture, and I was like, I'm fucking getting in there early.
That Dodge Dakota was at 6,000 RPMs all the way down there.
Dude, fucking Dodgy. She hammers down.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Old trusty.
The thing is, it's like coming out to Kurt's house, I can just barrel down gravel roads at like 60 because I don't care.
I ain't worry about it.
See how I drive down these roads, man. I get sick of driving down them, but
watch yourself.
Hey.
But I get in there, and I'm not a super fan of getting in like too early. I think that sometimes you bump more deer than if you would have came in. I'm a firm believer in you should be starting your walk an hour before you can shoot. That gives you time.
Be in there super early or light enough to see what's going on as you go in.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. I'm not a fan of getting in there. Like, I'm not a fan of sitting there for an hour and you can't see shit.
Yeah. It's all situational.
Anyways, but that's just a different topic.
Yeah.
But I get in there and it's nice and crunchy and it's cold and it just feels good. And then probably 5 minutes before shooting light, I see a deer working a scrape right on the road that's 55 yards away.
Like, you can tell it's a deer, you just don't know what deer it is.
I can tell it's a buck. Like, I can see a lot of white on his head, and I'm like, is that him? Is it not? Seems like the right timing. You know, he was 45 minutes ago, he was on that scrape, and it's this way to his bed. Like, maybe it's him. So I cannot look at him very good because I forgot my binoculars in my truck.
I was just going to say, like, you tried getting the binos up, like, you're trying to just see what's going on. No. I hate that, but.
Nope. Didn't happen that day. So he comes at like 45 yards, and I'm just focusing on that back half of his rack, and I don't see a kicker, and I'm like, it's not him.
Looking for the doinker.
So he walks off, and he gets behind some really, I mean, he's 45 yards. But it's dark. It's still pretty dark. You know, it's 5 minutes before shooting light, and I look at him, and I'm like, he's 150 plus. And I just let him walk on by and didn't see anything for a little bit. Seen a little bit, little buck. And then, dude, at 6:25, 6:30, I think sunrise is like 6:40-something, and 6:25, 6:30, something like that. I just hear some crunching, and I look up, and he's just walking right down the fucking pipe, just like those, the same path those three-year-olds took the last weekend before when they were by themselves, right? It's a, there's like a strip in there between the creek and the bottom, and it's just swamp grass and cottonwoods about a big round as your waist.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sparse, and all the grass lays down. It's nice little wide open lane, and he's just tromping right down it.
Cruising right down.
How far is he when you, at this point?
I mean, when I first seen him, probably like 75, 80 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it instantly, I know what deer it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and pretty obvious.
No brainer.
I mean, and he could not be walking anymore to my tree. I mean, just straight as an arrow. He is straight up wind. Like, straight up wind.
Things are adding up.
Perfect conditions.
I mean, it couldn't have been any better. And he just comes, and he gets like 10 yards, you know. I got my bow, and he gets like 10, 15 yards, and I'm like, fuck. And I'm starting to pick out spots for if he walks right under the tree.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this could be bad. But
too close is not good.
Yeah.
So I was getting a little nervous, and then all of a sudden he comes 10 yards
to get to that point.
He comes to like 10 yards, and then he just kind of looks one way, and then he looks the other way. He goes, because I'm in a clump of about 10 cottonwoods. They all go different directions. I don't cut shooting lanes. I don't do it. It's not me. And he goes right around the edge. And just starts quartering away 23 yards. And I just start picking out spots because, you know, cottonwoods are easy to shoot through. But if you get a lot of them together, they're going different directions.
Direction.
Mm-hmm. And you got 3-foot holes to shoot in instead of I got a giant fucking opening.
Yeah.
So yeah, I picked one and I drew back and I tried to stop him. I just gave him the meh, and he didn't stop, and I was not fucking letting him walk. I mean, I could have probably...
How far is he?
I didn't range it. I knew he was 25 or under, and I know that I don't need to adjust my sight for that.
Mm-hmm.
I just put it on him and let her go, and it sounded really good.
Yeah.
And then he... It was, I mean, I called you right after.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he bounds really, really hard at first for like 30 yards. And then he just like, kind of like stumbles. Like, he just kind of like, and then it's turned into like a walk. And then he just stops at like 50 yards from where I shot him. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on? I thought mm-hmm. I just, like, it sounded rib cage. Like, it sounded really good.
Yeah.
And I felt like he was quartering away just a hair. Mostly broadside, but I thought he was quartering away just a little bit. But he didn't act quite right. And it made me really, really nervous. I mean, I was super psyched after I let it go. You know, I hung my bow up and I'm just like, go down, go down, go down, go down, go down.
You're just waiting for him to tip
why,
over.
Why are you standing there? Die.
Yeah.
And just tip over.
He just stands there like 50, 55 yards. And I just see his ass just fucking... Going back and forth.
Doing the
back
wobble.
Back and forth.
And dude, wobble.
Yeah, for sure. And he just does this for like 25 seconds. And I'm like, go down. Go down.
Just drawing the suspense out.
Yeah.
Go down. And then finally, he flops over. And it's still dark enough to where I cannot, like, I can't confirm it in my brain that he completely went down. And I'm like, did he go down? Did he go down? Did he go down?
Is he down?
Is he down?
Is he down? Is he down?
Felt like Luke Bryan.
Where's my face paint?
Is he down?
Is he down? And you don't get your binoculars.
Jeans are cutting off circulation to my brain. I can't see.
Come on, fucking bridges.
They're so tight.
They're so tight, my jeans. Did he go down?
I don't know what he's tight jeans.
I've been sitting too long.
So, and that's the other thing. I don't have any binoculars, and I'm like, fuck. I'm just going to sit.
Oh, no binos would bug.
And I call my dad, and he's like, you can't chance a deer like that. He's like, just sit down.
Sit tight.
Chill out, and you're just going to have to wait. and I call my cousin, and he's getting out of bed, and he's like, I was like, hey, I just shot that fucking beast. And he's like, my cousin's the nicest dude ever. And he's like, oh my God, you didn't. I was like, I did. You're going to have to come help. And he's like, give me about an hour and a half. I got to take the kids to school. I'm like, okay, I'm going to try to wait.
So you sit there for an hour and a half.
I'm going to try to wait.
Woof.
Is it? So, I mean, I kind of in this moment now, it's soak it in, right? Is this when you called me? How long after you called him did you call me?
Probably, I mean, real close.
Because I was in a tree and yeah. I answered because I knew if you were calling.
Yeah, someone called that time.
Yeah. And I knew about what you were doing.
Right. Can I put in a bathroom break right now?
Oh, wow.
Right. Ooh. In the middle of the suspense.
Keep the audience waiting.
Let's do it. Yep, that sounds good. Hold on. All right, we're back from our bathroom break. Cole just had to do it. Luckily, we didn't add a commercial in, so you're welcome for that. Go ahead, Cole.
I'm sorry. I just had to.
Hey, you drink Miller Lights, you turn into a pussy. I don't know.
Hey, I mean, there's like seven of them.
I'm just kidding. All
right. Look at me.
I don't believe that. Hey, I've drank a few in my day.
No, so I shoot this deer, and I don't want to say he acts funny, but he acts different than deer that I've pinwheeled before. Like he doesn't do what I thought he was going to do if I shot him where I thought I shot.
Yeah.
You know?
So when in doubt, you're just giving them some time.
So yeah, I call my cousin and he's like, well, you know, he's like, I got to take kids to school. It'll be an hour and a half. And I'm like, oh boy, I think I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I call my dad and my dad's like, you know, you don't want to, if he acted right. like that, he might be hitting the guts. You don't want
to. Might be laying over there. And
so I don't have my binoculars, and I can look and see where he went. And I see, like, a lot of, like, what I think is, like, that dark amber-type brush. And it's a brushy farm. So I'm like, you know, it must be just some dead shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I end up calling you. I call my other buddy. I call my brother. And you answered, and you gave me some sound advice. Like, dude, you just need to just enjoy the moment. Like, this doesn't come along very often.
Mm-hmm.
Just sit in the stand, man. Watch the sun come up. Enjoy it.
Hell yeah.
And
yeah, because that's how I'd be, you know, don't rush a moment like that, you know.
Right, especially on and it's easy. Like it seems like every time you get in the moment, you're rushing yourself.
Yeah,
that's nice to have somebody say, "Dude, just step back and soak it in."
Yeah,
because after it's over, you're like, "Fuck, why didn't I enjoy that more?"
For sure, and that's what I think of, especially on a deer this caliber. Because I remember telling you, like, "Dude, you might never kill a bigger deer in your life."
Right.
Like, you know, go slow, man, chill.
And I would need that for someone to say, "Hey, just chill out," because I'd want to be down there and putting hands on him right away.
If you ever shoot a giant, just call me and I'll be sure to fucking walk you through it. Consulting.
Well, I knew.
Don't be a dummy.
I knew.
Just chain myself to the tree like a dog.
Yeah,
so I can't go anywhere.
I knew the way they reacted. I mean, I think the other move, other than waiting, was going to be for me to just get down and get out.
Mm-hmm.
And just
sneak out of there,
drive, go get a cup of coffee and just chill out for a minute, you know. Mm-hmm. Just something to take up the time. But that was my other move, other than, and then sitting there. And once I called you, and I called my other buddy, he didn't answer, and I texted him. I said, dude, I just put an arrow in. I was calling him Tommy at the time, Tommy Tomahawk, because the first time I seen him, I was like, that thing looks like a fucking weapon coming off the back. Like, you know, so Tomahawk stuck, and then I like to shorten him, so he became Tommy.
Right.
Tommy. Randy. T-T.
It's a good ring to it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like it.
So I call him, and I told him that. He's like, hold on, dude, I got a three-year-old riding underneath me. I'll call you in 5 minutes. And he calls me back, and he's just excited as you were for me. And he's like, dude, just chill out. He's kind of the same demeanor as you. And he's like, dude, just sit. Like, the thing is you guys don't even know each other. And he's like, just sit there, enjoy it. And you guys are good for me because I'm the total – I'm total opposite personality, you know.
Right.
Not that I want to sit there and rush a shot, but – like,
yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah,
I'm just a little high strung.
Mm-hmm. Probably. I gotta meet this guy then. Apparently,
yeah, he's a good dude.
Probably hate him.
I'm just kidding. Sounds like a total dickbag to me.
Hey, or he's just like me. Don't want to meet him.
I want to fight you.
That's cool though, man. I mean, you really should take it a moment like this. Like, you know, it. You thought you saw him go down. You feel like your shot's good. I mean, waiting isn't going to hurt anything,
right?
Especially exactly. If you know he's dead 50 yards from where you shot him.
And that's what my old man said. He's like, you know what? The worst that happens is you wait an hour and a half and he's dead 50 yards.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, what happens if you don't wait and you bump him and he gets in that creek and dies and he floats down and you got a big problem?
Yeah,
you
right, know? Like, right. Yeah, just wait. You're good. You're good.
So I sat there and I waited, and I think it was an hour and 15 minutes, and the sun finally gets up high enough, and,
mm-hmm.
and I just look, and I can see that fucking flyer beaming in the sun, and I'm like, is that him? And I really and
no
get to look.
No binos.
And I can see his rack laying down, and I'm like, that's fucking him. So I call my cousin, and I'm like, dude, I'm pretty sure he's down. Like, I gotta get down. Mm-hmm. I gotta get down.
But is were it, you thinking at all, like, or is that my eyes playing tricks on me? Like, is well, that a
it was
of sticks,
a little bit, but then
a couple
it
sticks
was
sticking up, or
it was extremely obvious. I mean, he died 65 yards from my stand.
Yeah.
But so I get down and I walk over, and all that grass that I thought was just weeds, like amber colored weeds, was blood.
Oh, no kidding.
I mean, just fucking spray.
What are you shooting for, broadhead?
I'm shooting Rage Hypodermic.
Right on.
And I will. So, I had a really bad string. I'm not going to say bad luck, because it wasn't bad luck. I just had a bad string where I lost a couple deer, and I didn't make good shots, and I didn't shoot my bow enough, and I just decided to switch everything, and I will never shoot another broadhead as long
that's
as
fair.
I live.
Keep kind of where I'm at.
Shoot what you like, man. Broadheads, I mean, are that one thing that keep people, they stick to what they like, you know?
The things that those broadheads have done to the last, so I shot a 5.5, a 4.5, and I'm fairly certain that he's 6.5 plus. The things that they did to those mature deer is impressive.
Oh, yeah.
And so I get down, and I mean, it's not even a blood trail. I mean, like, at that point, it's just, I follow it 10 feet, and I'm like, oh, my God, there he is.
Mm-hmm.
And, dude, where he stood and staggered, I mean, it was just like, it's like somebody took a 5-gallon pail.
It's like somebody threw an axe to an animal.
And just
bingo.
Dumped it on the ground.
Damn.
Bingo.
Damn. Never heard of them before.
Chuck Adams said it, I think, first.
Extra an animal?
Yeah. Again, that's just a testament to how tough these deer are. It's like, he literally stood there. I mean, I want to say maybe it felt like 5 minutes, but it was probably, you know, 45 to 60 seconds after he was shot in all his main arteries.
Right.
And bled out until he could not stand.
He's a tough old bird.
Give me a mental breakdown of what's going through your head when you pick a deer up like this.
Oh, dude.
And then so, break him down physically, like, for what he is.
I mean, I legit just sat, and I don't want to say that I like to hunt by myself, but this was an instance where I was glad that I was by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just sat down next to him and just sat there for a while. Because, I mean, my cousin wasn't going to be there for 20 minutes, so I just sat there.
Yeah.
I feel like if it was me, I'd never shot anything close to this, but I would have to sit down 10, 15 feet from it and just
take it all in.
Yeah. I don't think I could put hands on it right away.
I like recovering deer by myself initially.
There's something about it.
It's like, I don't know, you take it in, man.
It's an intimate moment. Just I don't want to sound like
animal.
A gay, but
no, that's
you know.
Your moment.
Oh, it's totally like, intimate.
Just
moment.
Between you and the big man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was incredible.
Break him down.
So he's basically got, I mean, he's essentially on his right side, he's just got a great big typical side with a big split and a triple brow. And then on his left side, it's almost like all of his tines are on fire. They actually all flare backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have a kicker, even though three of them aren't scorable. And he's got this gigantic, I think it's like 9 or 10 inches. It's a kicker off the back of his G2, which it's the wildest thing I ever seen. It's a G2 that comes up and it like turkey foots, and the third foot goes straight backward and down, and it has a kicker off of it. Like he essentially has 5 points coming off of, 4 points coming off of one base.
Mm-hmm. He's incredible, man. He's
mass all the way through.
Yeah,
I'm guessing close to 6 on base and probably upper 4s, low 5s throughout.
I mean, look at how big his G4s are. Huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that one G4 is, I think, like almost 9 inches, something like that.
Long beams.
So what did you unofficially green score him at?
I scored him at 193 and 5/8 or something like that. I'm typically within an inch, but I have a hard time scoring deer that have
shit going everywhere.
I'm pretty good at a deer that has a kicker.
Yeah.
But a deer that has a kicker that has a kicker.
Kicker coming off a kicker.
Kicker off a kicker off a kicker.
Like, it's the only thing is, I think I've been to enough deer shows and I've seen enough scores that I know that if you had 10 guys score that deer, they might score it.
I think he's bigger.
Three different ways.
Personally.
Hey, you know.
I'd like to measure him.
You may.
What'd you get, 193 and some change?
Yeah.
I bet you he's 196.
Okay.
Or better.
Sounds like a good government job.
So he's 196. Yeah,
bring him to work. Bring him to work. I don't want to bring all my measuring shit in there. They're like, what the fuck's all this?
What, so I legit.
For the job.
Yeah. Yeah. What's that, Cole?
I legit just drove her. Like, so I brought him home that same day. And then Ariel tested positive for coronavirus, so I was quarantined for 14 days. And I legit just, I took that skull with me everywhere.
I bet.
Like, I don't blame you a bit.
Like, she slept in the basement, and this deer was sleeping in bed with Cole.
So yep. When we looked at this, you brought it down to me, and your initial reaction was, dude, look at this divot in this deer's shoulder.
Yeah.
And we think it's on the opposite side, so it'd be on his right side. He had this massive divot, and when you dressed him out, you just showed me pictures of what you found under his cape.
Yeah, so he essentially had a... So when I recovered the deer, we took pictures, and it was just me and my cousin. It was a great moment for me and him. Like, we don't get to spend a whole lot of time together, so it was awesome. But we got to talking, and I was like, oh my God, look at this. What's going on with his shoulder? Like, what? I've never seen this. Like, I've killed dozens of deer. Like, I've never seen that in my life. He had like a divot above his shoulder blade. I mean, you could stick your fist in it.
And it was like a foot long. I mean, it's a huge divot.
Yeah, I mean, basically just take your fist.
Like missing muscle?
Yes. And like, bone that, I don't want to say shouldn't be there, but like misplaced, like
the deer displaced
bone.
Hit by a car, shot by something.
So yeah, initially I thought, I'm like, he must have been hit by a car. But in all honesty, where he was, I mean, I sat 3 days all day. And you know how many cars I seen? 2.
Mm-hmm.
In 3 days. I seen more four-wheelers than I seen cars.
You probably got shot.
So we didn't exactly know, and then I caped him out, and there's and I really, really tried to get real tight on the hide around that area. I was like, I really want to investigate this and see what it is.
See what's going on.
So I get real tight around the shoulder area, And he's got like, I mean, it is, it looks like you took a, I mean, it looks like you took a, I mean, like a small dinner plate, like a 6-inch round piece, and just put it in between the top of his shoulder and below his spine. And you just cut all the meat out, all the way to the fucking ribs.
No kidding.
Oh, shit.
That's on his right side.
He had to have gotten, like shoulder
got
hit?
Shot, and it got infected and healed up or something. I don't know.
I don't even really think infected, because on the other side, it was just solid scar tissue. I mean, I showed Austin the pictures. I mean, it's like, you get that
send
hard.
Send those to me, and when we make the post on Instagram, you know, you can post multiple photos. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll put that on there.
Yeah,
if it works.
Absolutely. I mean, his other side, like his left side, that shoulder blade is just solid scar tissue. Like you get, I mean, there's people that probably don't know exactly what I'm talking about, but like, you know, when you get that like real heavy white glaze over the top of all their muscle, like that's a scar.
Yeah, it was a bad injury. It's kind of, I mean, it's obviously what affected the left side of his rack. It just, the shape of his tines all have that bend in them on the left side, and then he's got that massive kicker coming off, and the other side's like perfectly straight tines, so obviously that injury affected the left side of him.
Mm-hmm. And it helps that I have his shed from 2 years ago, and it's, I mean, it's extreme. I mean, it's typical.
Yeah, the left side's perfect, and then 2 years later, he looks like this.
Right. Was his injury the opposite side of the body from the kicker? Mm-hmm. That's, they normally say that's the deal.
Yeah. Right, so that's kind of my, so, I mean, on a, so my theory is that he got shot high shoulder with a bow, because I think high shoulder with a gun, he would have died.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that inertia from the bullet would have inflicted enough harm on his spine.
Would have jello'd him.
To, I mean, not necessarily to, I mean, because I've seen him run a long, long way on a high shoulder with a gun, but typically it always, initially, I mean, eventually kills him.
Yeah, yeah.
But with a bow,
yeah, you get stuck in there.
A lot of times, if you get a pass through high shoulder, they're going to live. Because they ain't going to bleed.
But no, like, broadhead, no arrow shaft, no nothing.
And I tell you what, if you look at the photos of him skinned, I mean, it looks like a pass through. Like,
yeah, it's kind of hard to say. It was a, some kind of a car or truck or whatever that hit him when you see that injury on the opposite side. Like, I was pretty much sure that it had to have been a fucking semi that hit him, as bad as that divot looked. But,
well, I would say, like, any other bow hunters in the area might, like, reach out. But then again, he probably didn't look the way he looked when he got shot. So there's no way
he looked like, he looked like that.
A typical 10.
Right. That could have happened previous fall, or even the fall before that.
Right, it could have happened the year that I picked the shed up.
Right,
very true, very true. What time did you find that shed? What month? What?
That was.
I'm just
first part of March. And actually, the cool thing is that's like, that's honestly the first. It's like the first two or. I mean, that's like the second or third shed that I ever picked up on that farm.
I was just wondering, like, if you found him abnormally early or abnormally late, like if maybe he had an injury and that affected him.
No, and I really have no idea, because I don't, it's not like that farm, I typically just wait.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just, after I'm done shed hunting everything around home, I just go down there.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like I really haven't found very many chewed sheds. It seems like.
Man.
Right.
It's very low pressure.
I think that injury happened between that shed and this right here.
Had to, right?
For how clean he is on that.
It's impressive, ain't it? I'm actually, so I shot him and I got him home. My buddy's like, man, have you ever found any sheds to him? I was like, you know what? That brow tine just really, really resonates with me. Like, I feel like found a deer down there, and I got this. I got all my sheds hanging in my garage. But there's like 90 some of them, and I got to sorting through them, and I finally found the one that I had picked up, and I was like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah,
he's got that kicker coming off the back of his brow. I mean, that is him.
Yeah, he's got like three of them. They all match up off the brow, and obviously the shape of the beam's the same.
The main beam sweeps around.
Unmistakable. Yeah,
for sure him. Well, congrats, man. That's a giant. What a way to close out the season. Giant.
Yeah.
Biggest buck ever, Old Barn, pedestal mount.
I'm really – so this would be the first deer.
Don't be stupid.
Maybe this is a testament to Old Barn.
Don't do something you're going to regret.
This would be the first deer that I've ever shot that I haven't mounted myself.
I'm not saying you're a bad taxidermist, but I'm telling you, you won't regret it.
No, it's fine.
I didn't know where you were going with don't be stupid. Yeah. I thought you were doing
it'd
like
be tough
a
European mount.
Like a Euro mount.
If you're good at it and it's your own deer, it'd be tough not to mount it.
No, so that's the only thing. It's like a sentimental type of thing. This would be the only deer that I've ever shot and not mounted myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, I mean, most guys don't start taxidermy each other late in life. You know, I mean, it just seems like that kind of thing where they don't start till they're later in life. But
that'd be tough to take it somewhere.
It is.
I don't know, man. I think it's different when you have a place like Old Barn that's does two so many 200 plus inch deer a year. And
no, and I'll tell you what, they've
it'd be different if you're going to some dude with in his basement with holes blown in the brick and it was some guy, you know what I mean?
Cigarette stained walls.
Yeah, like you want to do, like Old Barn's going to do you right on this, and they're not going to, they know what this deer means to somebody like you, you know? And they know, especially if you mount your own deer, like you know what to look for and everything.
And so, I'll tell you what, Sam's been awesome to deal with. I called him and told him, you know, I'd like to get it done before a certain time. He goes, yep, no problem. I'll put a rush right on the tannery and yada, yada, yada. And I was like, well, what
beautiful thing. Tanner's right there.
Do you want me to come down there?
In the back barn.
You know, I use a certain form company or whatever. And he's like, if you want to go custom, we'll go custom.
So, yeah.
I mean.
Ain't nothing but a thing.
They've been. You didn't lead me astray. They seem like really, really good guys. So
yeah. We wouldn't be sponsored by them if they were shitty people,
I'm not worried about it. It's just, I get it.
But here's the thing, dude. Like, even if I could do tattoos when I go to get one on my neck, I ain't going to try it myself.
It's you a know good what
I'm
analogy.
Saying? I'm going to the best motherfucker I know of that's going to keep me in
good
hands.
Yeah, but I don't mount deer upside down.
Yeah.
That's true. You can't really see your neck.
Pushing 200 inch deer make you do some dumb shit.
No.
Just saying, man. So, you won't regret it.
So that's, I got actually at the base. Just about made.
And I guess my point is, and your base looks good, is I know you do a lot of mounts, you do a good job, but Old Barn does mounts every day for a living, and that they're going to make it the best job ever.
And I knew that we're trying to build a house in the spring, and I got number 4 on the way.
Think about this. You get
congratulations on that, man.
Yeah, congrats.
It's another boy.
Wolf.
I thought we were talking deer mounts, but I'm just kidding. No, congrats, man.
I'm pretty stoked that it's another boy. Actually,
well, think about this. Congrats on the kiddo, but this also congrats on being entered into the Working Class Bowhunter prize giveaway for a free mount next year. So when you have your next kid and you're busy,
no more.
We've heard the story before on the podcast. You're fucked.
You can't say no, Kurt. Do you say no?
I'm a strong man. But I ain't that strong.
There ain't no man.
It's a no for me, Doug.
I mean, maybe Doug. It's...
He's a weak, weak man. Anyway, thanks for joining the podcast, dude. I hope you had fun. This was we took our time and told the story. And
yep. Congrats, man.
Just a giant, absolute giant.
Deer of a lifetime.
Yeah, I felt like I just rambled about it. But
oh,
I
mean, it was a badass story.
It's your
dude.
Podcast. This is what you do. You got to tell the story,
you
know, man.
I like you guys.
No, our job is to interview you and have you tell the story.
Yep.
Okay.
And you did it.
Congrats, man. Congrats.
Thank you.
Friggin' giant.
Anything to close with?
I don't know.
Well, geez. Thanks for being here, man.
I don't know.
Kills a damn near 200-inch deer.
High energy. He's love it.
Full energy. You and Clint Gaffer might not get along, actually.
Oh, so. Whatever.
Yeah. Clint be like, you know, it's a nice buck. I guess I'll have
that's
Old Barn okay. on.
That's all I got to say about that.
No, I feel
got
like...
Got another kid on the way.
Yeah. I feel like I finally... I finally lived up to what I've strived for 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it finally all came together to where, and for me, it wasn't always the size of the deer. It wasn't, I didn't need to kill 195 incher or whatever.
Yeah.
But I feel like it finally came full circle, and I did do it all, and I did it on ground that I've kind of developed myself. And honestly, one of my buddies he's really, really, he's been a fan of mine ever from the beginning. And he came over and he seen it. He goes, you know what? This ought to squash all the bullshit about you just got good ground, good family ground, and you don't have to hunt as hard. You went somewhere where you don't know, and you put down a bigger deer than anybody's killed around here, and fuck them, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, in better terms, but.
You were there. You did the work. This was on you. That's the thing. Yeah. People can do that and shake stick at you because this and this and this and this, but you went in and did it.
I know.
Dude, lazy people don't kill big deer, no matter where you're at.
Just let the haters hate and you keep doing what you're doing, man. I'll be looking for another one next year.
Yeah, keep on keeping on.
Keep on keeping on, brother. Well, congrats, man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to close it out right there because that's the best way to close out a damn near 200-inch kill in Illinois.
Right.
You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.